Remain standing for the scripture, which is from the 13th chapter of Mark, verses 32 to 37. Hear these words of Jesus. But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight or at cockcrow or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Be seated. Thank you, Sandy. In her beautiful prayer this morning, both the one that she prayed as we began worship, but also the one that Sandy prayed as we closed our time of lighting the traditional Advent candles, she mentioned the truth of this season for each of us. It is the inclination to be of the world as we do the toddler lean. Do you know what I'm talking about? That toddler lean, it's like when they learn how to walk and then all of a sudden it's full tilt into the world and it's hard to stop their little legs. You and I run full tilt into a busy season, busier every day with all kinds of wonderful opportunities. And if we're not reminded, we believe that's what the season requires and that's really what the season is about. Not only must we stop and hear Jesus' own words about God's promised coming into our lives, but it's the long-standing promise throughout all of God's people's history. From Isaiah, the 65th chapter, "For I am about to create new heavens and a new earth," God says through his prophet. "The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind, but be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating. For I am about to create Jerusalem as a joy and its people as a delight. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and delight in my people. No more shall the sound of weeping be heard in it or the cry of distress." The frustrating thing is in God's promise, he's about to do something and gives us no stinking clue what it is or what sign to look for. Just that it will happen. Isaiah's words, "I'm about to," Jesus' words, "about that day, the hour, the minute," die, nobody knows except God. But we do know this, that he is coming. We know that by living on this side of the cross. We know what our brothers and sisters who rubbed shoulders with Mary and Joseph, who watched John the Baptist even and listened to his great sermons. We're not ready to receive that promise in Christ. Many were not. Are we? This being ready of knowing, of waiting for a sign, of wanting to be sure, catches us at every moment. Forgive this very rough example, but the spring of 84 was quite a tumultuous time for me for about 4 days because Tom Selleck came to Memphis to play with a pro-am volleyball tournament. That was about the time Magnum P.I., I'm sure you remember the show, was in its heyday. And Get Out, do you know the news we heard? They were playing the inaugural match to start the whole tournament in the Memphis State Fieldhouse, which was like 100 yards from the office where I worked as a student worker. I worked Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday as hard as I could to get all of my hours in so that I could go and sit and keep vigil on the bleachers for a sight of this person. I thought I had my snacks and my lunch planned, you know, that day in between classes so that I really could sit and watch. So I didn't want to miss a thing. The point in time came where I could not wait to take care of business, if you know what I mean. And so I kind of snuck around to the girls' locker room thinking that was a safe place to be able to rush in and rush out in the field house. I knew the place well and several classes there that semester. And as I was coming out of the girls' locker room with my hand in my fly, I ran right into him. And so please don't think me disrespectful of Scripture, but when I hear Jesus say, you just never know, I understand. All the thoughts and the hopes and the plannings, I really didn't pray about seeing Tom Selleck. He is, after all, a man and not nearly as good as my daddy. I still wanted to be aware. There are ways, my friends, that you and I cannot predict how and when Jesus will come to us. If we could, it would require no faith in this God who is much bigger than us. And I don't just mean in size and capacity, but in wisdom and in beauty and in glory. God has more for us than we could ever imagine. If you knew the moment and the exact way that Jesus would come to you, you would be busy up until that moment and miss the greatest part of his coming, and that is the unfolding of your trust in a God who loves you to the uttermost. We will not know the hour and the day, just like Bethlehem had no clue what was happening in that stable, save for a few shepherds who got the good news from a magnificent choir and wise men following a star to what they thought would be God's revelation, an epiphany for all humankind. We do know this too. Though we don't know the moment, we know that he will come, and we have some hints about how he will come that would help us keep watch. He will come to us much like he came to us the first time, as a baby, the kind of person, spiritual being dealing with human experiences, someone who needs to be cared for, who must be nursed and nurtured into the fullness of their capacity. That's not the same as one riding in on a white horse, you know. He will also come to us in the marginalized, those who are least suspected, those who will be the biggest surprise that they could have divine words come from their mouths or holy thoughts, because they're different than ours. The world sees those kind of people as not nearly enough, not polished enough, not educated enough, not with it enough. God will come to us like a baby. God will come to us in the marginalized, and God will come to you but ask you to meet him. And that will require, if you've not figured it out in life yet, it will require an action that will make you step out of your boat or to be outside of your comfort zone. That's the only way you and I get to choose to meet God faithfully in the work that he is already doing. Walter Brueggemann, a phenomenal theologian in my opinion, writes this sentence in his Advent work for this year. Advent is preparation for the demands of newness that will break the tired patterns of fear in our lives. There is something steadfast about tradition, the lighting of the Advent candles, how it is that we decorate a tree that stands for eternal life, the colors of the season, the way that we pray and the way that we gather. But my friends, there is always something new that God is doing among us. And the truth is, the Lord of all is coming. What will you do to prepare for Him? What will you do to be aware of Him this season? Jesus' words at the close of that passage that comes to us from Mark's gospel should be our Advent mantra, mine and yours. Keep awake, keep watch, for the Lord of all is coming. Will you see Him this week? Not if your eyes are closed. Not if you're working on that to-do list for the Christmas parties that are unending in number. Will you see the one who comes for you and brings you life? I hope so. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.